Wednesday night here on Delight Radio. Good evening and Happy New Year. First show of 2020 for me. First show of the decade. Thank you, Walter, for the last 3 hours. It's now me. It's Retro Russ. It's Discolicious. And that means late 70s disco.
I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Tightrope Podcast. We tell the stories of people who are defining the future of work. Our guests walk the tightrope, away from meaningless toil, and towards work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people, and is fun to do, meaningful work. The stories that our guests tell, and the insights that they provide, will inspire you to connect with work and experiences that stoke your passions and make the world a better place. For the future of work is meaningful work. Like me, Russell White built a career in executive recruitment. And also like me, Russell finds his happy place doing meaningful work behind the microphone. His nirvana is Discolicious, the radio show he hosts each week, broadcast around the globe on D-Lite Radio. To Americans, Russ is a DJ, but the Brits call him a presenter, and for several hours each week, Russ deep dives into disco, the genre that he's loved since he was a teenager growing up in North London. We spoke with Russell White in January 2020. I want to pivot now and talk about another dimension to your career, and that is as a radio presenter.
Yes.
You are a presenter for D-Lite Radio, which is on the internet. Is that true?
Yep, it's on the internet. It's actually we have, I don't know whether you have it in the US. We have digital DAB, digital audio broadcasting, which is kind of like FM, but much. But you can carry a lot more stations. The compression is much higher. It's, right. I won't bore you with the technical details. So it broadcasts in London, Manchester, Birmingham, Glasgow, and Portsmouth. So our potential catchment is sort of like 10, 15 million people. And yes, we're on the internet. We have an app. And although it should probably light up. If you ask Alexa. Yeah, she did light up say play Delight Radio, then you can play Delight Radio.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, we do have sub-channels here in the United States. Our terrestrial radio became digitized, I want to say, 10 or so years ago. So we do have sub-channels here, especially in the Washington, D.C. area, where you can listen to alternate type programming. And it's lovely. It's wonderful. So... what's the origin story behind you becoming a radio presenter, and how did a teenage kid from the northern part of London discover American disco? That's what I really want to know.
Well, I think it all started from the age of about 16 or 17. So we're talking 1976, 1977. I'm showing my age here now.
Yeah, me too.
I was always into soul music. So, I can't remember how I hooked onto that as opposed to rock or the other genres that were around at that particular time. I'm not saying I didn't like rock. I always loved Queen, for example, saw them many times, in the 80s, in concert. For me, I always loved soul and I also like dancing as well. Mm. So, I used to go to these, various nightclubs, local youth clubs. And then, obviously being in North London, all the sort of the West End clubs in central London, and that's where I really kind of began to really take an appreciation of the music, and I think from that age, sort of 16 or 17, it was earlier than that, from the age of 14, but I didn't go clubbing because I was too young, I just used to buy the records and just built up a collection. And then I think it must have been around 1982, 83, maybe 84 even. I bumped into, in a bar in London, the DJ that used to do all the major clubs. I said, oh, I remember you used to do that. Yeah, hello. He says, he said, do you want to buy my records? And because I'm moving to Spain. And I went, yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
And I bought thousands. And I won't tell you the price because I think that would be it wasn't so expensive, put it like that. So I literally went to his flat where he lived in again in central London. Two trips in my car, the suspension sort of right down on the floor, picking up all these records, taking them all back to my flat, and then I had all the records, played them all. I thought, great, I've got this collection. Loved all the music. Obviously, it was all the music from sort of earlier. And then I think about sort of 5 years. It was about 5 years later. I thought, you know, I should do something with these records. So I bought myself a couple of record decks and a sort of a very basic kind of DJ sort of things. And I mm-hmm. and then people asked me, well, can you come and DJ at my parties? And I went, yeah, sure. So I said, DJ to play all my disco music. And I still kept buying, went to secondhand record shops, still kept buying the records, increased my collection. Just where I live locally, I suppose 96, 97. I can't remember the exact date, Stan. You know, it's all around 20 years ago, let's say. The guy in the pub said, I'm looking for someone to come and DJ on a Friday night. And he mentioned it to me. I said, well, I do DJ. I've got some equipment. And he said, well, come on. Well, why don't you come? Why don't you do it? I said, okay. So I started doing this DJing on a Friday night in the pub, and it got busier and busier and busier because no one at that time was playing disco music in London.
No,
So I was playing this disco music, and it was getting busy, and the word was getting around, and all these people used to come in, and they used to come. I used to play a particular record, and they used to come up to me, what's that record that you just played? And I said, well, it's this one. And they used to write it down. They said, oh, thanks very much. And then someone else would come up, what's that record? Never heard that one before. And basically, they were house music producers that were listening to what I was playing, and then going away, and then taking sort of samples from those records, sort of finding the record or finding it online or whatever. We were just about online dial up at that time, or finding the record and then recreating the record with them with a more modern house beat. The guy I used to hire equipment from had a very the internet started, and we had a broadband had just kicked in, and he'd had a pirate radio station, but he didn't want to do pirate, so pirate on the FM. He said, I'm going to do an internet radio station. Do you want to come and join me to come and do a show? And I went, sure, you know, be a bit of fun. I've never done it before. That's where that kicked off. And then he kind of closed it down. He wasn't doing it anymore. So I found another station with some guys in Essex, which is just county to the east of London. And there was a very big soul scene in Essex. And I got hooked up with the whole of that, what was called then the Essex soul scene. I then started doing more sort of DJing in and around London. So I started getting asked to play, can you bring your records and play here, can you bring your records and play there. I started doing all those sorts of things, and it kind of kicked off from there. And Delight Radio is associated with another station called London Greek Radio, which is a community-based radio station broadcasting mainly in London, but it's also in Birmingham as well. And the person that used to run that is sadly no longer with us. Basically said, I'm starting a new radio station called Crackers Radio, and there used to be a club called Crackers in London, where this music used to be played back in the late 70s. And we think we can build something. Would you like to come on there and play your disco records? And I went, of course I will. And to cut a long story short, he moved on from his own station. He had he went and did something else. And the people that took over Crackers and LGR basically rebranded Crackers to Delight Radio, and I guess, for want of a better expression, made it more. I don't want to use the word professional because that's derogatory to what Crackers was, but I think just sort of sharpened it up, basically. I stayed. Some people, Crackers Radio basically then went off and restarted elsewhere, but I stayed with Delight, and it's kind of grown from there, really. So thoroughly enjoy it. It's my hobby. You know, people say, well, why do you do radio? And I said, well, some people go as their hobby, go and play golf, or they go and play tennis, or they play squash, or go running. Well, my thing is, I go on every Wednesday night, go and play disco music on a national radio station.
You know, it's amazing the intersectionality between our two experiences. I started in radio 40 years ago.
Wow.
And that was my first career act. I thought I was going to be on radio. I loved radio. I love the intimacy of it.
Likewise. Absolutely.
It's just amazing to me that, like me, you're still in it. I mean, I'm not on the radio. I'm a podcaster now. But it really fulfills the same kind of need that I had to communicate and have an intimate experience with my listeners.
Absolutely. That's what I really enjoy is that interaction, and knowing that you're sort of introducing what I would call old new music to different audiences. I know that it's global. I have people listening I have a lot of listeners in the US. But also right across Europe as well. And some of those are people who grew up in the same era that I did. But equally, there are people who didn't grow up in that era who kind of really find the music really resonates with them, that disco music. And I understand why. I mean, I love disco. It's kind of, it's what I play. But I listen to absolutely everything, Dan, and occasionally I get to present other shows on when other presenters are absent or on holiday, etc. And I play other music, and it's very much around sort of playing what I'm feeling at that precise moment in time. Obviously, you play within certain you've got certain strictures that you have to play certain tracks. You have to play certain tracks, but that's fine. But it's about sort of conveying the emotion that I'm feeling about a particular track and getting that sort of, okay, you're talking to a microphone, but you know that there are people listening and that they are actually. That they're actually enjoying the experience. You're giving enjoyment. And again, it's about giving back. And I know that certain other people play music and they won't mention the name of the track because it's kind of secret and, you know, it's a fantastic piece of music and it's, you know, I found it and I'm not going to share it with anyone else. Whereas my view is that you need to know who made that record in 1977 and what label it went on and who they worked with and who produced it. And because that person produced not only that track, but they also produced this one, which you will know about. So I think it's very much about sort of educating people towards, you know, this whole music. And then at the same time, sort of conveying my experiences that I had as a teenager going to the nightclubs in central London where this music was played because it was the kind of disco and dance because that's what they played in the clubs back in the day then, and saying what it was like because, you know, all that's left is the music. You cannot convey the atmosphere over the radio of what those clubs were like. I think if I want to give an example to your listeners, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, they'll all be familiar with Studio 54 or the Trocadero in San Francisco. The club, some of the a few of the clubs in London were very similar to that kind of atmosphere, that kind of hedonistic attitude that they had at that time, which I try and put across, but it's not always easy to do that.
Started the show with the Cool and the Gang, funky stuff and more funky stuff. And this is GQ, Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Links to Russell White's social media are provided in the show notes for this episode at dansmolin.com. Please join us again for more inspiring stories from people who walk the tightrope to seek and do meaningful work. You can subscribe to us where you get your podcasts or listen to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com. I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Tightrope Podcast. Together, let's walk the tightrope to find and do meaningful work, for the future of work is meaningful work. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Let's connect again next week. Stay socially distant, everyone.